who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. I tell you, if that doesn't melt our heart, we are very hard to see the sacrifice our Lord would make. And just as Adam was put to sleep before his bride was formed, the same thing happened to the last Adam when he went to sleep on the cross and laid down his life willingly, that out of his wounded side would be formed his bride and his body. And dear friends, his death would not be disaster. His death would be triumphant, and his death would be accomplished in such a way, as he himself said, except a grain of wheat die, it abides alone. But if it die, what will happen to it? It will bring forth what? Not just fruit, much fruit. Hallelujah. Now turn with me to John 17. The high priestly prayer of Jesus. By the way, Jesus never prayed the same prayer he gave his disciples to pray. Our Father who art in heaven. That is not the Lord's prayer. We may say that in a general sense, but Jesus never prayed, and forgive me my sin as I forgive others who have sinned against me. That's a disciple's prayer. But you want the Lord's prayer, the real Lord's prayer, is John chapter 17. And in that prayer, you'll never find Jesus confessing any sin. Amen? You see, we don't know this Jesus much yet. I include myself. But every time you see the greatness of the Lord, you got to bow in adoration. Amen. Chapter 17, beloved. He's praying to the Father. And verse 4. I have glorified thee where? You see that word, glorify? It's an important word that has volumes of meaning. What did Jesus mean when he glorified the Father on earth? He served the Father with every fiber of his being, as well as he served his fellow man. He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, be that bond slave. And that will mean give his life a what? A ransom for many. Now, I've glorified thee in the earth. He didn't go to the cross yet. But notice in this prayer what he's saying. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to what? How could Jesus say that when he didn't go to the cross yet? It is as good as done when he says it. Amen? Sure. Hallelujah. How many of us have ever thought about it? That he is praying and he's saying something that didn't happen as yet time-wise. But he's not just the lamb slain in time. He is foreordained to be the lamb slain when? So it was as good as done. The hour is coming and now is. He said that on more than one occasion. We always are looking out there for some things to happen. But Jesus also, he knew there was a future tense, could also speak of the present tense. And you got to understand that. This is no ordinary man speaking. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Well, let us see it as fulfilled on the cross. But as I say, he saw it as already done, and he prayed for something to be granted him. Let's look at the next verse. And now, O Father, glorify, see that word again? Glorify thou me with thine own self, with the what? Glory, which I had with thee when? Before the world was. Can any human being talk like that? Come on. Where are all the Alexander the Great and all the Caesars and all the dictators of this world? They all pale into insignificance before the majesty of this man. He had glory before he came here. May I tell you something? When Jesus really finished the work the Father gave him to do, he would come into a greater glory than what he had on the Mount of Transfiguration. Because he was willing to go the way of the cross, he received the baptism of glory to enable him to go to the cross. But having finished the work of the cross, he would come not into a temporal glory, he would come into a glory that would be fadeless and enduring. And the Bible speaks of the saints coming into an exceeding and eternal weight of what? Glory. Praise God. So you see, Jesus became that bondslave who would be pierced in his body. If God has your ear, he has the entire body. Okay, now let's follow a little. I have manifested thy name unto the men. Now come some important words. Whom? What? Help me out. Who gave these men to the Lord? Who is to give the wife and the children to the bondslave? The master. Now watch this. Watch this statement. It's repeated more than once. So I'm going to bring you to some of these verses. I have manifested thy name unto the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. Oh, beloved, we're in a hurry when we read. So, who is the love gift of the Father to the Son? His redeemed people, making up his wife and many sons. There are ranks among the redeemed, whether we believe it or not. And I will not argue over that. But how good to know we are not our own, we are bought with a what? Price. So notice now, verse 9, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them whom thou hast what? Given me, for they are whose? Thine. Look at verse 11. Last sentence, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. Verse 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition. Let's keep on going. Verse 24, Father, I will. Oh, hallelujah. I will, whenever Jesus wills, is never apart from the Father's will. I came not to do mine own will, but whose? The will of him that sent me. Oh, what does he will? Let's see it. I will that they also, who are the they? Whom thou hast given me. What comes after that? Beware. With me, where? Where is he? Where is his home? He promised to be with us, right? to the end of the age, right? But here's a prayer for us to be where he is. When a man marries a woman, where does she go to live? Can you help me? I'm not talking about the crazy society in which we live. But what was the... Where did Rebecca go after she was married to Isaac? Can you help me with that simple observation? What did Isaac do? He brought her into his mother's tent. She goes to live where he is. Amen? That where I am, there you may be where? Also. Isn't that a glorious hope? And he that hath this hope in him, that is in the Lord, purifieth himself even as he, the Lord, is pure. Let's go back to verse 24. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. What comes after that? That they may behold what? My glory. Which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. I tell you, this is an awesome prayer. I don't believe I've scratched the surface of this prayer. That prayer is so vast, it will take volumes to write on. Each word, each verse. You know what? That's the high priest in the Holy of Holies, if you please. Never man prayed like that man. Never man lived like that man. Never man died like that man. Never man was born like that man. Never man rose from the dead like that man. Never man ascended on high like that man. He's unique in every way. No wonder the songwriter says, love so amazing, so divine. Demands what? My soul, what else? My life, my all. So if the master has given him a wife, would you like to read that back now? Go back to Exodus chapter 15. Rather, 21. Sorry, I was in the wrong chapter. Exodus 21. Notice what verse 4 says. Where did this bond slave get his wife from? Huh? Now, that may not be in every case, but according to this verse, if his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her masters, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him to the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. The point I want to bring to you is, if he's going to stay with his master, where will he and his wife and children live? In the master's house. Now comes John 14. In my Father's house are what?
Many
mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and what? Receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I take that literally. If you want to make a spiritual meaning out of it, nothing wrong. But don't do away with the literal meaning. How many of you are glad that Jesus became that model bond slave. But now we got to end. You see, I couldn't go into all the servants of the Bible. That would take us the whole week. I'm telling you, it is so vast, you can only do so much. And we don't want to spend 3 hours, though we can. I know you can take it. But I didn't feel we need to go that long. Just to highlight this one thought. There was a time when we were serving another master. And he's a hard taskmaster, just like the taskmaster over the Israelites. Pharaoh is a wonderful illustration of Satan himself. And we were in bondage to Satan and sin until somebody came and freed us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Satan had me bound, that old chorus says, but Jesus set me free. Ah, but then we get free and we think we can go do what we want. And didn't that happen to us to some degree? We got free, and before you know it, boy, we were glad that we escaped hell. You know, for many, I'm not going to hell. I've settled with the Lord. But then how does our life match up? And then it had to dawn on us. We had freedom, but we were using license to go and do what we want. But when the day came that we saw that that kind of lifestyle was not pleasing in the eyes of God, we had to decide we can't serve two masters. And when we decided and said, I love my Lord, I will not go free to do what I want. The only freedom I seek is to do his will. Amen? Then you surrender fully to him. When you do, you know what he's going to do? He's going to pierce your ear. 7 times in Revelation 2 and 3, there is a statement. He that hath what? Ears. Not ears. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. What is the meaning of having the mark in the ear? We're making an application now to the Christian. God is saying, I'm going to make you deaf to all the tantalizing voices around you. So you will be insensitive to that and have only an ear to hear what I'm saying. For my sheep know my voice. My sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Now, before we conclude, there's only one group of people who will get the message of the book of Revelation, the hardest book in the Bible to understand. I ask people, to whom is the book of Revelation written? And everybody says, the church. And it's true in a sense, yes. But after studying this book, and I still have to keep on studying it and meditating upon it, there's only one group of people to whom the book of Revelation is written. And let us see that the key verse to the entire book is the first verse of the first chapter of Revelation. Please open there and slowly read. Slowly read. The revelation, not revelations. It's not the revelation of St. John the Divine. That's man's title of the book. That's not the title of the book, really. It's the revelation of whom? That's the title of the book. And that word means the pulling aside of the veil, that what is hidden might be seen. Or the unveiling of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. I'm reading slowly now. To show unto whom? That word means bond slave. What does that word mean? to show unto his bond slaves things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his apostle and lover John. What comes after that? The word is the same, bond slave. Oh, wasn't John the man who leaned on his bosom and knew secrets others didn't know? And yet John is calling himself a bond slave. What happened to John? He had to come to that point where he himself said, I love my master. I will not go free. Did that happen to Apostle Paul? You know, I notice in some places, men are taking titles like apostle so-and-so, prophet so-and-so. Why do we need all those titles? That shows something is wrong. It's a desire to be recognized by others as somebody great. You know what? If you want to give me a title, call me a servant of God. And I just don't want to be a servant merely. I want to be a true bond slave of Jesus Christ. That's my prayer and my desire. So, I want to show you that because Paul had a glimpse of this, in every epistle almost, let's see something. And I hope it will bless you, because in this day we can't glory in the flesh. Oh, to have a heart like our master, who went about seeking to please the Father and to do the Father's will and to do it in such a way that we marvel at his example. But he wants to reproduce himself in you and in me. So I have a few scriptures here and we'll close. And one of them is in Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Brother Allen, can you help us?
Paul, the servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God.
What word comes first, apostle or servant?
Servant.
And if you take the time to go through, and I won't do that now, just go through the epistles and you will see, though he calls himself an apostle, he takes more delight in using this word servant, and that word means a bond slave. Let's see what Brother Peter says of himself. 2 Peter 1 and verse 1, my friend. 2 Peter 1 and verse 1.
Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ.
What word comes first?
Servant.
It's the same word, bond slave. Let's see what Jude says. Just before Revelation is Jude. Let's see what Jude says of himself. The very first verse of Jude.
Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called.
That same word servant is bondslave. Let's see what James says in James 1 and verse 1. All right. So these people had a revelation of the bond slave. And that's why they lived the kind of life that puts us to shame. They were sold out to God 100%. You know why there are only a few people in these meetings? There's only one answer. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And I see this kind of attitude in many, many places, reminding me, where iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall what? You know something? If we had a quartet coming here, and especially if they're very well known, this place would be overflowing. And I'm not against the quartet, and I'm not against the singers and all of that. I'm just showing you, when it's time to hear the word of God, though, you wouldn't find a crowd. Because there are many believers, but few bond slaves. Few. Are you willing for the Lord to pierce your ear? But I can't close yet until I show you how important this word is in the book of Revelation. It's right there in the first chapter. And I want to trace a couple more scriptures. Brother Allen, kindly help us with Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7. And these messengers of the Lord are told not to hurt the earth, nor the trees and the sea and so on. Verse 3.
Saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads.
Who are the ones that are sealed in the foreheads? And that word means bond slaves. And may I tell you, it's not only Jews that are being sealed. Though Jews are going to be sealed, who are the true remnant of Israel, but there are people who are not Jews that are going to be sealed as well. But God is no respecter of persons. He will have a remnant out of Israel, and he'll have a remnant out of every nation, kindred, tongue, and tribe. And the people that are sealed are the servants of God. Was there a greater man in the Old Testament than Moses? He was meek above all men on the face of the earth. I tell you, we have to thank God for the grace. And although he lived under law, he said, show me your grace. Hallelujah. So go to Revelation 15. Revelation chapter 15. And you know, we can call him a prophet. We can call him a king. He was king in Heshuron. He was leader, but there's a verse in Deuteronomy that Moses was king in Heshuron, spelled J-E-S-H-U-R-U-N. And that is a beautiful word. It has more than one meaning. It means the upright one, but Heshuron can be translated, my darling little one. My darling little one. My. Who gets the most attention in a family? Benjamin was grown up, and yet he was the last. And in the book of Psalms, there goes little Benjamin. What tribe did Paul the apostle come from? Benjamin. And his very name, Paul, means little. God doesn't use big and mighty things. Not that he can, but he gets more glory using little things. Little Lottie. Maybe not even seen on the map. All right. Verse 3, Brother Allen. Revelation 15, 3.
And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints.
What is the word that describes Moses in this song? And who is a bond slave? One with a pierced ear, sold out to his master completely. That is speaking a whole lot. And Jesus is called here the Lamb. So how can they sing the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb? We'll touch that another time. Please forgive me. What is that song all about? Too much to go into. Let's keep going. And let's go to the last chapter of Revelation. 22nd chapter. And verse 3.
And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him.
Who will serve him? That's the same word, bond slave. You see how important this word is, my friend? If you didn't get anything at all, I hope this word will be driven home to your heart that you see this is the call of God to us. But we have a choice. God never forces any one of us. But one more. Verse 4. Who are the they that shall see his face?
Servants.
Bond slaves. And what else?
And his name shall be in their forehead.
And when we see him, we shall be how? Like him, for we shall see him. And I will that those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. That's to have a place with him in the holy city, not made with hands. How many are willing to have the marks of the bond slave? I believe that's what God is trying to show us. I can't end yet. Just a couple more minutes. Jesus gave a promise to his disciples. In Luke 12, Brother Allen, and although he served man and he served God, you know what Jesus is still doing today? Come on, help me out. When you gird yourself, you're getting ready for work, right? And where you put the girdle? Around the waistline, right? But isn't it amazing that when John saw Jesus with the girdle, where was this girdle? In chapter 1. Around his breast, not around his waist. But guess what? Jesus is still doing a work, although the girdle is on his breast, it is saying he's serving us in love. But he's serving us from the glory now. And here is the promise. In Luke chapter 12, Luke chapter 12. Verse 35, my friend, and keep going.
Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning, and ye yourselves likened to men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching.
All right, blessed are those what?
Servants.
That's bond slaves there. Okay, go ahead. Notice that. He's giving a special blessing or beatitude to the bond slaves. If when he comes and finds them watching and about the master's business, what's he going to do? Gird himself and do what?
Serve
them. He's still the servant. Hallelujah. He will serve forever. Only he can serve forever because none of us can serve forever. He's the eternal one. Hallelujah. Do you and I even begin to contemplate what that means? I can't even begin to comprehend all of that is saying. But let's read on. So there's a double blessing for two kinds of servants. Those who are found watching when. Yeah, in the Greek it's and, not or, and the third watch. So that shows you his coming is in stages and in phases. When he comes the first time, he's getting his bride. When he comes the second time, he's coming to get the rest of the harvest. So here you have the bride and the many sons that make up the household of God. Who can receive it, and those who can't, well, we leave it alone. And there's a special blessing for the midnight and cock-crowing hour. Servants or bond slaves. May the Lord quicken this message to us and show us how important it is to be a bond slave. Hold on a little more. We're not going anywhere. I was reading about the man who welcomed him in his arms. What was his name? Simeon. And as he held the Messiah in his arms, you know what he said? Now, Lord, let thy what? Servant. That same word is bond slave. You see how the bond slave is connected? Because he knew who that little child was. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. And this man had a pierced ear as a bond slave, so he admits it. But you sisters feel left out this morning. I have a word for you, all of you. You think God isn't going to use you? God has work for you to do. You haven't begun yet to see what he has in store for you. And you two sisters there. Yes, the enemy has sought to oppress you and distress you and make you feel that you're not accomplishing anything. But stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Because God is about to open a door for you because you've had a window opened. Tokens of his premonitions to you that greater things are ahead. So, wait on the Lord and be of good cheer, for the Lord is about to open a door. Though there may be adversaries, if he be for you, who can be against you? And he will give you beauty for ashes, and the oil of joy for mourning, and a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And others among you, sisters, be encouraged this morning, for I'm going to give you two sisters. Ruth is known as a Moabitess. I mentioned that earlier, a few nights ago, but it stunned me when I saw something about Ruth when she went to meet Boaz at the threshing floor. What is the threshing floor we're at, both men and women? The place of breaking, the place of repenting, the place where the grain is trodden, but the wheat is separated from the chaff. God is purging his threshing floor. But that's where we're going to know God in a way we've not known him. Out of the buffeting and the bruising will come the blessing. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. So turn with me to the book of Ruth and the third chapter, Brother Allen. Ruth chapter 3. Boaz is asleep on the threshing floor, and at midnight he wakes up. And there's a woman at his feet. Oh, that is so powerful. Hallelujah. The midnight hour is approaching, and the Lord is going to have a bride at his feet. You can rest assured of that.
Amen.
But notice what Boaz says. Verse 9. You notice she didn't say, I'm Ruth the Moabitess. Go into the previous chapters. Every time she's mentioned, Ruth the Moabitess. Ruth the Moabitess. This time, and this is what stunned me. I had read that, never paid attention to it. She doesn't say, I'm Ruth the Moabitess. What does she say here? And the word handmaid is female bond slave. Did you hear that? Make a note of that in your Bibles. This word handmaid means female bond slave. Read on to the next chapter. She's no more called the Moabitess. Why? Because when you are willing to get to the threshing floor and you're willing to go through the process of becoming a bond slave, God is ready to reward you. Amen? Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, Boaz pronounced a blessing on her long before she met him at the threshing floor. Read that for us before we close. Let's go to chapter 2, Brother Allen. And this was a prophetic word from Boaz to Ruth. And I love this verse. Verse 12. Hallelujah. Under his wings I am what? That songwriter says, I am safely abiding. The wings of the Lord speak of the protection of the Lord. The Lord recompense thy work, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give unto every man as his work shall be. And a full reward be given thee. What is this full reward? John says, something about the full reward. Can you help us with that for us, brother? Or read it for us, Brother Lester? It's in one of his epistles there. If it's 2 John or 3 John, I think it may be 3 John. That's all right.
Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward.
What kind of reward? Full reward. Now you see this woman coming into a reward. What she gleaned in the field is not what she finds at the threshing floor. It's wanting to get common blessings. Daily manna. It's another thing to have hidden manna. And when you're willing to get to the threshing floor, and you're willing to become a bond slave, guess what Boaz gave her there? 6 measures of barley, which is twice as much as she received when she was gleaning. That's the double portion that can only come through double testing. Hallelujah. And she didn't have to sweat it out. Hallelujah. And it wasn't just barley. It was winnowed barley. Praise God. Now, we'll end with this now. And finally, we will end.
Finally, brethren.
I'm keeping the best for the last. Mary had a choice to become the vessel to birth the Messiah. But would she choose? Remember, the bond slave isn't forced to make a decision. He has to be willing, right? Ruth was willing. She didn't disagree with her mother-in-law. She was willing. That is what God is looking for, a willing people. And if we are not, say, Lord, make me willing to be willing. So we're going to close with Mary's response. Go to Luke chapter 1. Verse 38.
And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her.
What is the word Mary used? Female bondslave. Let me tell you something. we need to have a revelation as to the importance of the Virgin Mary in the plan of God. Not to worship her, but to see her in her proper place. This is a special vessel. There is more to her than I understand or any one of us understand. But our Roman Catholic friends have gone overboard in trying to put her on a pedestal as a co-mediatrix. No, there's only one mediator between God and man. But on the other hand, we give honor to whom honor is due. And imagine this young woman saying, "Behold the womb of the Lord." She was willing to be a bond slave. Never mind what ridicule she faced and misunderstanding. And go on to verse 46.
"And Mary said, 'My soul doth magnify the Lord.'"
Go ahead.
"And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior.
Mm-hmm.
For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed."
He has regarded the low estate of whom? And that's the same word, female bondslave. If we are willing to humble ourselves, he will exalt us. If we exalt ourselves, we will be humbled. And that's all I'll give you this morning. Thank you for your patience. And I pray this message will really burn into our heart to where we see this is the call of God to us in this hour. To be sold out to his will and his purpose.